Laughlines is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
All right, welcome to Laughlines, a show that combines very funny people with my very serious gambling addiction. We're going to discuss and dissect pop culture through the perverted, depraved, and sinful lens of gambling. Let's bring in my co-host, shall we? Also co-host of the Megan Fund of Sports podcast on the Money Grab feed, and it doesn't end there. She's also backstage correspondent for Friday Night SmackDown. Not to mention, she received straight A's on her most recent termite report. Good job by you. The incomparable Megan Conley is here. What's happening, Megan?
Sal, I wish it was straight A's, but unfortunately there were some termites. There were a few issues, but we're going to figure it out. It's all good. I'm hanging in there.
In the process of buying a house. Yeah, this is not just something you do for fun, right?
Yes,
you are actually,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I should mention that. You know, yeah. All sorts of issues, but I think it's going to work out. At least is what they tell me. So we'll see. Hopefully the house doesn't fall down.
By the way, I brought up Money Grab, and if I were to list the top five money grabs in the country right now, termite tenting and termite reports and anything termite related is the number one money grab. No question about it. That's it. They never don't find anything, right?
This
they always
is true.
Come back for something. Is there
They're
an
like,
example?
It's very minor, but we just need to treat it for a year. And it's going to cost you $50 a month, but that's it for the year. And then you'll have no issues. So you might be onto something. This might be a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, for God's sakes. It sure is. They're right in. They're in cahoots with the, what do you call the dermatologists, right?
Oh, yeah. With the foot doctor. I got a bill from them the other day. Got a bill yesterday. Said that I didn't pay my $50 copay, which I know
that
I
for
did.
Warts.
So I had
to
call.
Yeah, your body's riddled with warts. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I was talking about just, I'm thinking of like sun damage and everything. You can't go in there without them finding something moderately suspicious and then
and
you have to come back.
Precancerous. You know, I feel like that term is made up.
Yeah. Scare the crap out of you.
Aren't we all living in a precancerous state, right?
Yes. I'm going to say yes, because I don't want to jinx anything. Right. Cause if I say no, I'm cool. Yeah. Whatever. And then I get a bad termite report. They actually said I had cancerous termites last report I had. So that was bad. That really brought it all together. Hey, we have a fun show today, Megan. You know how they're normally just, whatever.
Yeah.
This one's going to be good. All right, let's bring in our guest. He's an Emmy-nominated writer for Late Night with Seth Meyers. He also holds a distinction of being the only tolerable Philadelphia sports fan in the United States. That's quite a feat, by the way. He'll also be performing at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August. What date in August? We have no idea. Babyface Joel Solomon didn't supply me with that information. Anyway, our good pal, Matt Goldich, is here. What's happening, Matt?
Great to be back. Great to be back. Thank you for ranking me number one on the list of most tolerable Philadelphia
I gotta
sports
say,
fans.
It's the slimmest of pickings, I have to tell you. But you know that, right?
You're ranking me above Dr. Jill Biden. I mean, that's an impressive accomplishment. I'll take
How many batteries have you thrown at a athlete in your lifetime?
Now, see, that's a conspiracy theory. Mm. That's false. False information. Never thrown anything. And, I have only a lovely relationship with the... I think most of being a Philadelphia sports fan is really just... It's less anger for me and more heartbreak. Although, I will say I've been to a couple of games, big playoff games, both Phillies and Eagles in the last year, and Sixers. And Eagles especially, I have the feeling where I'm like, I'm not like these people. Like, these are... You know, I love this team, but not maybe these fans are not my people. But thank you for saying
well,
that.
Well, yeah, thank you. I think Dr. Jill will thank you by inviting you to the White House. I mean, that's kind of her thing, right?
I mean, she invites the loser as well, which is good for
that's
Philadelphia because we keep making it almost all the way and then losing,
Well, she came in second, so she invited herself. What is your favorite Philly sports moment? I'm going to imagine a man of your age. I mean, is it just a win over the Patriots in the Super Bowl, which was probably one of Megan's worst?
I can definitely pinpoint the you know, certain times in my life where, I mean, obviously when you're 12 or 13, that is sort of a moment where they say, like, you know, what you like when you're 12 or when you're 13 is what you love your entire life. And that was when I was 13 was when the Phillies reached the World Series with Dykstra and John Kruk and that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then later the Iverson Sixers, big, you know, all these teams that almost won basically. But I mean, the but the only, I mean, the the Eagles winning the Super Bowl was, I mean, football is my number one. So the Eagles winning the Super Bowl with Foles for sure was the, was the best. And but this maybe, year, I mean, it's crazy because that felt like a one-off, and now it feels like we lost last year, but it almost doesn't feel heartbreaking because it feels like we have stuff to look forward to. Sorry, Sal. I know that's
No, it's okay. You had the Phillies. It's been a weird year, right? You did make the finals with the Phillies, and the Eagles made the finals.
Sixers, not so great.
Of football. What do they call that? Yeah, Sixers. Not great. Although I did pick you at 12-1 to be the NBA champs in our way selections. Yeah. No. For next year. For next year. Oh, so okay. Anyway, no Doc Rivers. Got Nick Nurse. You like that? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's everyone's talking like we're going to lose Harden, and next year is kind of going to be almost like a quasi rebuild year. But I don't know.
Yeah, just do it.
But I will tell you, in terms of gambling, I was looking at this. I think the last time I was on your show, Sal, was 2021, and so since then, they made.
I said to Babyface, I said I don't want to see that guy for another two and a half years. Yeah, he's like, exactly. Okay, fine. So and here you are.
Since then, they made sports gambling legal in New York State, where I live.
Oh, right.
And I have been betting. I don't recommend this betting strategy to anybody, but I've only been betting with my heart and only been betting on the Philadelphia teams. And for once in my life, this has somehow actually paid off, because the teams that I root for have been awful. There's never been a period in my Philadelphia sports fandom where more than one team is good at the same time. And the fact that the Phillies, Eagles, and to a lesser extent the Sixers have all had good runs while I've been gambling has been a boon for me. I don't recommend this betting strategy because it's literally just betting on the Eagles, Phillies, and Sixers, and somehow
interesting
payoff.
It doesn't work.
There's no method to my madness.
See, I do the opposite. I'm a White Sox fan and a Patriots fan, and they, you know, the Patriots have taken a turn for the worse. So I bet against them almost every single game this past season, came out positive, and now the White Sox is just a total train wreck. So I usually bet against them as well, but you know, I'm a lover of my teams, but I have to make business decisions.
You know what's weird about the betting with your heart thing? Anything you do with your heart is pretty much known as a positive. I'm just thinking about this now. Boy, that kid has heart, right? Maybe not all the talent in the world, but he gives it all he has out there. Kid's got heart. Oh, what a good heart. Look at that. He donated to the orphans in Cambodia. But when you bet with your heart, it's the worst thing you could do, right?
Yes.
Shouldn't they change that term or change the organ or something? Like you bet with your liver.
I mean, that means using your gut.
Your gut. Yeah.
That has a more
your liver. That means you're drunk and probably bad drugs. Yeah. That might be the way to turn it. All right. Yeah. Are you picketing lately? I mentioned earlier.
I've been picketing some. I'm in my 40s, so it's a lot of walking. It's a lot of my back. It's a strain on my back, but I try to picket some. I try to get out there. It's like the most socializing I've had in, you know, 3+ years since pre-pandemic, I think, being out there on the picket lines and seeing people.
Yeah, it's not good when writers get sunlight and exercise. It's like, holy crap.
It's very antithetical to the writer lifestyle. Yeah.
Megan, I mentioned you write for Seth Meyers. Megan had, how do we want to set this up, Megan?
Well, I'm an alum of Northwestern University, where Seth Meyers went to school. And my graduation, which wasn't too long ago, 7 years ago, Seth Meyers was the speaker. And I'm obviously a big fan, and his whole thesis of his graduation commencement address was that we are never going to remember who spoke at our graduation, and we're going to remember everything else. But I think he's wrong, because I will never forget waiting outside secretly. I knew where he was stationed, and as soon as he came out, I got a quick picture. And then
this is pathetic.
That's all, guys. No more pics. And honestly, in this picture, it looks like Seth Meyers is my dad celebrating my graduation. So Mikey, pull up the picture.
This is really pathetic that you're making us look at this picture.
Let me see. Look at it. Doesn't it look like he's my dad?
Yes. Now, is he African-American man? And he's a coffee dad in the background. Now, this is before you knew how to apply your own makeup, right?
Yeah, this was before. I learned this morning, actually, how to apply my own makeup. So
okay. Oh, if only you could graduate again. All right. I mean, he looks somewhat happy. We know pictures where people are like getting, it's like pulling teeth to get
annoyed.
Them.
He looks very happy to be there. So anything and the Northwestern purple, very flattering, very flat. I have a couple of Northwestern close friends and family with the Northwestern ties.
They're obnoxious, aren't they?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. You can say
about
it.
I like that. Let's talk about a sports team that does not have a lot of success that will celebrate any minor victory. You know,
right?
We have to. But listen, women's lacrosse, Natty champs. So we're hanging our head on that.
You know what? They play with their hearts or something. I think I don't know, whatever it is. All right, listen, let's do this game. All right. Okay. We'll take, this is what we're going to do, Matt. You know this. You've done this before. We'll take three made up propositions. We assign them odds like a real Vegas sports book. And then we can use that as a launching point to discuss various topics. Then we're going to play a little cameo over under. This is a competitive group. Who won last week? Benetta? Did she beat us? She came back and beat us.
No, Sal, never to you, be seen won. Again?
You were.
Oh, I won.
You won. Okay. Wow. I can't believe you forgot already. That.
No, I knew. I just wanted to hear you say it. Yeah, okay. I did win. Okay, so different story this week. Three new subjects, and we'll get to that in a minute. But right now, let's play the game. Okay, so Matt, we spend a lot of time on the show talking about airplanes, more than probably the Boeing company, I'd say. But you should know that this Megan over here refuses to switch seats with anyone, regardless of their situation. It could be an 85-year-old woman giving
birth. Listen,
Matt,
I have to stand up for myself in this situation. I fly over 200 times a year. So I have earned my right to not switch with anybody.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's a flight attendant. She didn't even tell you what
not.
She has to do. Yeah.
I might as well be.
I got you.
Wouldn't the counter argument be you fly so often that each individual time is very unimportant in the grand scheme of things and you should be going to, you know.
Well, listen, if
that's how normal people might.
So I am boarding group one. So I'm usually one of the first people on the plane. So I get in my seat, I get all situated. And then if somebody asks me, oh, you know, would you switch so that my husband and I can sit next to each other? I have to pick up all of my stuff. This delays the boarding process. It's a pain in the neck. It's usually a 2-hour flight to Charlotte where we're just going to connect anyways. You're going to be fine not sitting next to your significant other for 2 hours. And I am not moving.
I wonder how many marriages you've broken up. Have you thought about that? Like this could be the only alone time these people have together. And here you are not letting it happen.
I will remember that next time you get seated next to my 3-year-old, I'll let you sit next to the 3-year-old and I'll stay in the row behind you by myself. So
I would love it. I'll pick up after your 3-year-old too.
Okay, good. Good.
So we made a little fun game out of this. With summer travel coming up, it got us wondering, what's the most annoying act a passenger can commit on an airplane? Is it no socks / shoes, even odds? Oh, that's bad. Someone who takes both armrests, 3-1 odds. Someone who reclines the seat all the way back, 5-1 odds. Mikey Meatballs hates that one. Flatulence made the list at 12-1 odds. Or the field, you could take anything other than what I just mentioned, Matt, at 5-2. What are you going with?
Am I first?
Yes. We'll let you go first.
Well, first of all, flatulence, I think, a plane is one of the few public places where flatulence is allowed. That might be a controversial stance that I take. I feel like the amount of noise and, what are you supposed to do? You can't hold it in for 6 hours. It's not like you can step outside the room and, either that or I'm going to. You know,
there are bathrooms. A lot of these planes have bathrooms.
But that's the thing. Let's say I'm in the window and Megan's in the aisle. Am I going to just bother her every 5 minutes when I have to fart to go to the bathroom? That it seems like a, you know,
that's what she gets for not moving. Yeah,
I don't like to go off. I don't like to go off the board with the field on the first one. But I maybe this is a technicality that this was not included. But I feel like the most annoying act on a plane is making unwanted conversation.
I think it's
talking to the person next to you without sensing, you know, whether they want to actually talk to you. I think for me, because that will ruin the whole flight. If if the person next to you thinks that you want to talk to them and you just want to sit and listen to your headphones or watch something or just sleep, to me, that is because I can overlook. I can close my eyes and overlook feet or whatever it is or. You know, the armrest, but you can't ignore somebody who's talking to you when you don't want to talk.
Interesting.
This is true.
And you seem like a nice guy who would probably let it happen. Like just let them talk. But I also think with the invention of the AirBud, what do we have in our ears right now? I think that stomps it out a little bit.
Don't make me feel like I have to be rude. Like, cause it can be an aggressive act. You know, and so I feel like it's your job to suss out whether I want to talk. And if I'm grunting or giving one word answers and you keep going, then that's right. That's not good social cues.
Yeah, people suck. You're right.
They all should
right,
have Megan, it I like
you on, have a million of these.
Yeah, I do. But they should have it like when you check in for your flight. You know how on Uber you could put like, please do not disturb. You can put your status for Uber. That's you don't want to talk. That's, you should do that when you check into your flight so that people know automatically, like I'm a talker or I'm not. So that's just a little
you
note.
You get a non-smoking room at a hotel. This is a non-talking seat.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yes. I think that they really need to evaluate that. I will say the population of people who take off their shoes on the airplane, they don't care that people don't like it. They're like, listen, I do this. And this is part of my routine. And if you don't like it, I'm going to sit next to you. And I really don't care how you feel. So I kind of tip my cap to them because they're more confident than me. I still can't take my shoes off on a flight. But if you do the cross-country flight, they give you the little slippers. So I think that's the airline telling you this is okay. Right. It's all right on this flight. The farting on planes, it's happening to everybody because we all get like the altitudes and every single person on that flight is farting without question. Now, our very own Eddie Spaghetti, who is not here right now, actually shared with us that sometimes he sits down to pee on an airplane because of the turbulence. I don't know if you guys have that go on, but Eddie said that.
You want to avoid contact with that surface if you can, I think. Right.
Listen,
right.
I of have course to sit you down do. To pee, but you guys don't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, so that's Edna Spaghetti. All right. So what else?
And the talking, I have a solution to this. So Mikey, pull up the picture of me on a plane, please.
There's more pictures. Jeez. Yeah, we got more pictures.
Yeah. I didn't know I was allowed to bring visual aids. I feel a little bit.
So this is me sleeping on a plane here. So if you buy yourself the eye mask, that instantly tells everybody I'm not talking. I put the eye mask on as soon as I sit down because no one's going to talk to you while you have an eye mask on. Don't mind people reclining in their seats because I'm going to recline my seat as well. But the number one most annoying thing about flying on a plane is when you're deboarding the plane and everybody stands up and tries to elbow you out to cut you off. Everybody, please sit in your seats. We do this in an orderly fashion, one row at a time. There is no need to stand up as soon as we land.
100%. I'm trying to rank which is the most aggressive of those choices on this list. Like bare feet, you're right. There's like the people don't care. I'm going bare feet. The people that take your armrest, also very aggressive, extremely aggressive, or just don't know the rules. Like I could kind of sense that sometimes it's people who just never flew before. It's hard to believe. And they are right beside you when the plane stops. Like they don't even wait for the landing gear to come down. They're right beside you. I'm like, you're saving 6 seconds. That's what you're doing by waiting here. And I will listen, unless you have a connecting flight and you make that clear, I'm boxing them out like Jokic. I'm not letting them do it. Not doing it. Really can't do it. And I imagine everyone's on my side. Yeah, I think that should be an FAA violation.
I actually try to take longer too to get my bag over the overhead bin if someone is being pushy. Because I'm sorry, I got to get my bag, and I'll just take a little longer to do it just to kind of prove a point.
Good for you. Yeah, they should have to. Those people should be released on the luggage conveyor belt. Really, like for everybody to see. But you know, I'm going to go with something. I'm going off the board, Matt. I'm going field. I'm going with those people, speaking of pushy, the ones that are trying to push out the emergency exit door during the flight. We hear about this like 5 or 6 times a summer. I know we're all in a hurry these days, but man, are these people annoying? The ones that really just try to kick out the door mid-flight. Like, oh, talk about getting on somebody's nerves. That's what I say.
They're just doing it to annoy you. There's nothing else going
like,
on
oh,
there.
Oh man, like you know, good point and laugh. But yeah, is that impossible to do? By the way, didn't they say when you're in the air, it's impossible to do to kick out the emergency exit door?
I've never tried.
Really? Okay, do that. Right, yeah, take the night mask off and do that. All right, Babyface. How did this poll break down?
I believe you can do that on Spirit Airlines.
I got you. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Over 2,000 votes, and this could not have been closer. A lot of opinions here. In fourth place with 16% takes both armrests. Mm-hmm. In third place with 27%, no socks, no shoes. Your runner-up with 28% is flatulence, which, flatulence. Yeah, mm-hmm. which also is socially acceptable on this podcast, Matt, if you have to.
Yeah, yeah, let it fly. All right.
And your winner with 29% of the vote, reclined seat all the way, is your winner.
Really?
I'm shocked.
That's Mikey Meatballs must have voted like 1,000 times or something. Because I don't know, that doesn't bother me as much. Reclined seat.
There's one person who gets screwed on the plane, and it's the person who's already screwed because they're in the back of the plane.
Yeah. Right.
I think reclining the seat is, you should ask permission, right? Or at least, you know, say like, or give warning, like, hi, is it okay if I, you know, but it is almost a rhetorical question when you turn around and say, hi, is it okay if I recline the seat?
I'm never doing it anyway.
Turned down for that. Yeah.
You ask? You ask people?
I give warning. I would give warning only because let's say the person has their tray out and they have juice on it or something. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to like jerk your thing back and spill their drink on them.
Oh, but you're so anti-Philly. I feel like a real Philadelphian would just recline right away.
Well, he asked and then he throws his drink in their face. I mean, he didn't finish the story.
Exactly. Yeah.
Meatballs, is that what you were asking for? You want just somebody to give you a heads up, right?
No, this actually happened to me the other day when I was flying back. I was leaning forward and I had a water in my hand and the person reclined and it spilled all over me on my flight home. So just a warning, if any of you guys are ever sitting in front of me while we're flying and you recline, I'm going to strangle you.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right. That's good. That should make the list too. People who strangle others on airlines.
One time Michael dropped me off at the airport and I cut it close all the time. So I was like, no, I got time. No, I got time. And right by LAX, there's a ton of traffic. I arrived as my flight was already boarding. And then I made it to their Megan Connolly final boarding call. That's how I typically travel, which is
really okay. Do you have a picture of that? I mean, I don't believe you or anything unless you have a picture. All right. Listen, let's take a quick break. Now we know how the game is played. We'll do a couple more of these nonsensical queries, and then we'll do Cameo over under. We'll get Matt out of here. All right. Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesar's Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. You keep those winnings. But if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and older only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 or more wagers only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet is $1,250. The bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, it's 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE, New York, or text HOPENY. All right, Father's Day, that's this week. I can't wait to see what my wife forced my kids to buy me this year. It's like there's going to be an Amazon delivery Sunday morning, I guarantee, from all three of them because it's a last minute thing. But anyway, with Father's Day coming up, the question is, which fictional TV dad would you want to adopt you? Is it Logan Roy, 2-1 odds? Tony Soprano, 5-1 odds? Homer Simpson, 20-1 odds? Tywin Lannister, 100-1 odds, or the field at even. Matt, take it away.
Well, say I know he's the favorite, but it's hard to say Logan Roy is a good dad. But I mean, in that 1 week where it's your turn to be his successor, it's got to feel pretty good. I mean, isn't that kind of, wasn't that, not to ruin anything, wasn't that kind of the the whole point of Shiv's, you know, eulogy was like, you know, he hated you 90% of the time, but in that 10% of the time that he liked you, I mean, he was a great dad, you know, and really powerful. And for, at least for that episode, you feel like you're the future ruler of the world, you know, and then eventually, of course, it all gets pulled out from under you. But at least you get the high, high before you get the low, low. So I feel like, you know, assuming Cliff Huxtable is not eligible in the pool, I think we have to go with Logan Roy. That's my answer.
Right. Of course, mm-hmm. it's Cliff Huxtable otherwise. Yeah, I don't know. So so this is the live tour answer, right? Like, yeah, I want to be rich beyond imagination, right? Okay. All right. I respect that. Megan?
Yeah, I mean, either way, you're taken care of, right? Because you have enough money mm-hmm. and you have the last name that no one's going to mess with you, right? Yeah. I'm going to go a little bit of a different strategy here. I'm going to take the field. The best TV dad of all time is Peter Gallagher in the OC. We Father Cohen, we love him so much. He's got a great head of hair. They have a beautiful mansion in Orange County, but he's also such a great guy. Sandy Cohen is the man. I mean, he always does the right thing, always looking out for his son. He seems like he's a very good husband, even though his wife is a little up and down here and there. I would love to be Sandy Cohen's daughter. So
interesting. Wait, you said Father Cohen? He's a priest or
no? That's just my dad. He's going to be my dad. He already adopted Ryan, right? He took work home with him, gave Ryan a better life. So why not just add me to the mix? I really did think about George Banks from Father of the Bride, but I like Sandy Cohen better.
Mm. All right. What were we going to say, Matt? Yeah.
I feel like on the last time I did this podcast, I'm having like a flashback, like Rachel Panetta gave the OC answer. Like she went off the board and picked the OC for something. I think we'd have to go look at the tape. It was like best foursome. And I picked the Beatles and she said the foursome from the OC. And I'm like, why does the OC keep coming up every time I'm on this podcast? That makes sense.
Yeah. Let's stop with the OC.
Well, we're on the same age. OC, right? So that's like,
yes, makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there is a picture of Megan and Father Cohen. And if we can pull that up. No, we don't have
No, his son actually did go to Northwestern though. So maybe one day I'll get a picture with him too.
Okay. I really thought about this, you know, with Tywin Lannister, he's obviously evil, but he's constantly preaching that a Lannister always pays their debts, which is great for the local bookie in King's Landing, but not terrific for me. Tony Soprano, I love him, but he had his hand on AJ's throat up against the wall one too many times for my liking. Logan Roy, I just feel like we'd be telling each other the f*** off for, 30 years until he died, and that wouldn't be good. I like that George Jefferson, my dry cleaning bill is high, so that wouldn't be bad. That's before your time, Megan. I'm going to go with Coach Eric Taylor, Friday Night Lights.
Oh, that's a great one.
Tough, but fair. You know, I know I'm not getting cut from the football team. Instills a great work ethic. Teaches you how to deal with the local yokels. And he loves Applebee's. They're in Applebee's every week, so as am I. So I'm going with Coach Taylor. What did Twitterverse say about this, babyface?
All right. For fictional TV dad, your last place with 12%, Tywin Lannister.
Mm.
And
interesting.
Third place, 23%, Logan Roy.
Wow.
Mm.
And your runner up with 28%, Tony Soprano. And your winner, what an upset, with 37% of the vote, 20-1, Homer Simpson.
I don't know if that, I mean, his kids never grow. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good idea.
A lot of votes for Cousin Sal, which
is that right?
Are you a fictional dad or real?
I feel like I am, as I have to be at another Pony League tournament 2 hours away at 7:15 in the morning on Saturday. But I think that's a fictional dad. Yeah, it never ends. Okay. So Taylor Swift is done with her ex-boyfriend. It was like Ted Kaczynski, right? So now they broke up. I'm not sure how it works.
R.I.P.
Some music guy. R.I.P. Right. So it got us thinking, which celebrity would you like to see Taylor Swift date next? Is it Harry Styles, 5-2 odds? Michael B. Jordan, 4-1 odds? Elliot Page, 7-1 odds? Zion Williamson, 500-1 odds? Or the field at even odds? Matt, take it away.
Well, I was going to say DeAndre Swift. I thought that'd be good to have the Swift.
Not bad. That would be good for Swifties.
Yes, that's your running back.
And he's
now,
on the Eagles now. Yeah. So the Zion Williamson story, I have to plead ignorance. I keep seeing headlines I feel like Twitter is so filled with spam now that if I search to find out what it's going to be about, I'm going to give my computer a virus. I can't, I feel like I don't want to know.
Yeah, you're going to get a dozen penis enlargement ads a day.
I don't need to know about it. Here's why I'm going to go with the odds on favorite Harry Styles. I have a very complicated explanation for this, which is, there was a time, as a professional joke writer, where celebrities, were what you would write about most, whether it was Kim Kardashian or Justin Bieber or what the latest. Mm-hmm. And then somehow politics overtook that. And especially with Trump and then back in the news this week and the election, everything, I think it'd be nice to go back to a time where there were these major celebrities that everybody knew and everybody talked about, and they became the number one thing that everybody made jokes about. And I feel like if Taylor Swift and Harry Styles started dating, that would become the biggest story in America. And it would be sort of a fun hearkening back to a time before people concern themselves with more important things. And we could all just joke about that. And it would sort of become the number one story on the news, maybe, instead of more, the fact that the air is filling with smoke from Canada or more depressing topics. We could just have fun.
Listen,
the monoculture would be back.
Yes. And right. Taylor, if you're listening, not only do you have a chance to date DeAndre Swift, you have a chance to save the world. So please do it.
Yes, the Swifties could unite.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, maybe my previous answer, Coach Taylor Swift. But wow. What a mashup that would be. Yeah, it's a separate conversation, Matt. But why and when did that change? Well, we can't, like, the celebrities aren't the targets of the joke. I have a theory, but go ahead. Yeah, let me hear it.
No, you go ahead. Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's like we're going to get a little serious here, but I think a lot of these people, like Britney Spears, for instance, you can't really make fun of her. Like, she's got stuff going on, right?
Yep.
So whereas she was an easy target, sure. Or even like Lindsay Lohan, oh, she got in an accident. Like, yeah, well, there's more to it, her mental state. And I don't know who's another example. I don't even think like Charlie Sheen we'd be able to make fun of at this point, right? Kanye West. Yeah.
I think it's even simpler than that, which is there are just a lot fewer people that everybody knows who they are. And like, if you think about who teenagers know and who they listen to, it's all YouTube and TikTok people that we've never heard of. And
yeah, that's
true. There are very few stars that are famous to everybody between the ages of like 12 and 80, and Taylor Swift and Harry Styles are two of the few remaining. And so if they started dating,
I think you're right.
That would be a big deal.
That's a good point. And to further that point, like if you look like, I think Babyface and I discussed this, like who's the go-to fat joke for a celebrity fat joke? And like there really isn't one. There used to be like 20 of them and now you really can't go away. And it's not
like
you
can't make fun of fat people anymore.
Yeah. So we always just go back to Harry, my friend from the Degenerate Trifecta. But yeah, no. All right. So I'm sorry. We've talked a lot here. Megan, what's your pick?
I would just like to point out, I know that Matt is avoiding the Zion Williamson story, but Mariah Mills, who is his woman, who's no longer his woman anymore. She's also an adult actor. And after this story came out, her name jumped up 2,293% on Pornhub.
Wow.
She went from being ranked 173rd. Now she's ranked number 34. So I'm happy for her. This is good that her Pornhub numbers are going up because, numbers do pay the bills. So hopefully she gets a nice check from that. Who am I supposed to pick? Who Taylor Swift would date next? I thought about Zion and what he's going through is tough, but I am a Ja Morant stan. I did name myself after Ja Morant. I think a way for Ja Morant's PR team to handle this fiasco that he's going through is have him date Taylor Swift. People love Taylor Swift. They could get behind it. Taylor Swift could write a nice song about him before she writes one about how they break up. And I think it would be a good rebrand for Ja heading into next NBA season.
Not bad.
Yeah. And Taylor Swift just fully diving into heel territory, just going from a bad boy to an even worse boyfriend.
Yeah,
just,
I think it would be good.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's kind of fun.
I think it would expand her audience a little bit. Obviously, her audience, I don't want to get talk about race, but like her audience is very white. So maybe now she could dive into a new genre and kind of expand.
You could be Taylor Swift's publicist, I think, after all said and done. Yeah. You know, I also went with a gun-toting celebrity, not Ja Morant, but an absolute monster long shot field here, Kid Rock. You know, they say opposites attract. It couldn't be more opposite than Kid Rock. They could tour together. They could, you know, backstage shoot all the Bud Light cans they want in the off season, whatever they want to do. And a duet of Ba with the Ba would really, really unify this country, I think. So I'm going Kid Rock and Taylor Swift. I think that's the way to go. I mean, what are we supposed to do? The Iron Sheik is dead. That would have been my answer.
It's so sad, isn't it?
I know. What are you going to do? Joel, what do people say?
Not the answers you were expecting here. Your last place celebrity, 8% of the vote, Harry Styles.
So I'm the only airplane farter who wants Taylor Swift to date Harry Styles, apparently. There's nobody else. I'm the only person.
Have you ever uttered that sentence before? I'm the only airplane farter.
Once a week it happens. Yeah.
Okay, good.
That doesn't know about the Zion Williams story, which is crazy. But with third place, 17% of the vote, Elliot Page. Okay. Right. And your runner up with 20% of the vote, Michael B. Jordan, which means your runaway winner with 55% of the vote, Zion Williamson.
All right. We have a bunch of perverted followers. Yeah. I see what's going on.
Congratulations to Mariah Mills, who spread a virus faster than any Chinese laboratory this week.
There you go. All right. And congratulations to me in advance, because I'm about to kick your ass in Cami over under. But let's take a quick break before that happens. All right, it's time for the game that's sweeping the nation, guessing the price of celebrities' greedy participation. It's Cami over under.
Grab some money from a jar. Get a message from a star. The price is what we really wonder. It's Cami over under.
All right, Matt. I don't know if you remember how this worked. Are you on Cameo, first of all?
I am not. I'm not.
Okay. That's okay. We definitely don't hold it against you.
They said that I, if I joined, I would have to pay people to record greetings.
Oh, stop it.
And
so stop that.
After you play this game, you're going to learn that that is not true.
Okay. No, he's done this before. He's a regular. I don't remember. Did you win last time you were on and did this?
I think I did. I acquitted myself pretty well. I don't remember if I won.
Interesting. You'd remember. Top moments of your life, I think. Like meeting Seth Meyers at a college graduation. Yeah. I think that's would be right up there. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Babyface Joel Solomon's going to give us a name of someone who offers their services on Cameo. Our crack staff production crew has set an over-under on how much they charge, and we're going to guess if the actual fee is over or under that amount. We're going to do this 3 times, all right?
Listen, Sal, you make fun of me for taking a picture with Seth Meyers, but a couple weeks ago on the show, you showed us a picture of you and Jennifer Aniston. So listen.
I did not stop her and say, hey, we have to take this picture, the last you're going to take today. It was a paparazzi thing. Believe me, I wish it hadn't happened, but it did.
Sure.
There's nothing I could do. All right, Joel. Get us going here.
All right. So Father's Day is this weekend, and we have a father from the dark side, Lord Vader. And we now go to a galaxy far, far away to take a look at, give you a little taste of Lord Vader.
Okay. No idea what we're looking at here. Oh.
This will be a day long remembered. An alliance with Cameo that enables personalized video transmissions to be beamed to your communication device.
All right. So I don't know for sure because he's all costumed up, but I don't think that's James Earl Jones. I really don't. Matt,
unlikely.
Well, actually, let's hear the number, Joel, that Lord Vader.
Lord Vader. It's out there. Over under. $35.
Man, that seems right.
All right, $35.
I mean, it seems high because that's ridiculous, but.
So this is not Matt, a celebrity. It's just a guy in a Darth Vader.
Well, we don't know.
Costume.
How do we know? We have no idea. It could be Taylor Swift.
Am I first to guess?
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
Also, if you're familiar with Cameo, they use celebrity very loosely. So,
right. I know. I have to say under. If it's over, if people are paying more than $35 for that, then something is not right with the world. I'm sorry. It's got to be under. I'm going to lose my faith in humanity if it's not.
Okay. Well, something's not right anyway. Either way, whatever this guy
girl charges. I have to take over here because he has the whole setup. He has the technology as the sound maker. I mean, someone's got to pay for that. And that's going to be costing $35 a Cameo. So I'm going to take the over. It's not vastly over, but it is slightly over 35.
What technology is so involved?
He's got the sound machine. He has those buttons. I mean, someone's got to pay for that, right? But it's a one time.
I mean, he's not renting that thing. Is that not $80 a month for that sounding board or whatever? All right. So you say over. Wow. I think I'm on Matt's side. You know, normally we look at this and like, okay, is he striking while the iron's hot? It is Father's Day week, but are people really looking into that so much as Babyface did when he chose this? I'm going to say under. I'm with Matt here. Megan's over.
I'm be like 40.
Well, guys, then apparently something is wrong with humanity.
Oh, no.
Because Lord Vader is over at $50.
$50? That's right. That equipment is expensive.
I think your reasoning is flawed. I just think this guy's got an overinflated look at himself. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. Now Matt thinks of the world differently.
Well, maybe without the audible breathing, it might be less. But when you add that audible heavy breathing,
The only thing that would be more shocking is if you told me he was number 33 on Pornhub.
He's dating Zion Williamson. Yeah, I think is what's going on. All right, Matt, we have some catching up to do.
Honestly, he might be on Pornhub because there's some people who are into that stuff.
Well, he paid for the board. Yeah.
All right, Matt, we're going to go back to your childhood. I believe he was on that 93 Phillies team. Also, was the Red Sox and the Diamondbacks World Series winner.
Oh, no. I know who this is.
Kurt Schilling. Over under $175.
Kurt Schilling not probably going to make the Hall of Fame now because of his political beliefs and whatever. It's almost not fair. But would he go in as a Philly anyway? What do you think, Matt?
I hope not. I mean, we'll take Kurt Schilling the player, but Kurt Schilling the person. There is a problem with some of these Phillies historically, who especially Phillies who have become. Some of them that are not good guys.
I spoke to Lenny Dykstra on the phone last week, but so please don't include him. I know you wouldn't. There was no way you were thinking him in a million years.
No, I mean, Steve Carlton turned out to be a real psycho, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
And then
he doesn't have a TV, right? Yeah.
Yeah. There's been some real problematic ex-Phillies. I sadly do think there is a big market for Kurt Schilling on Cameo, and I have not due to his political beliefs, and also the fact that, like you said, there's three different teams that he was like a playoff hero for, and so I think there's a market for him because of that. And now that we know for sure there is something wrong with the world, I'm going to say over. I'm going to say. That people are paying a lot of money for Kurt Schilling on Cameo.
Yeah, Phillies, Diamondbacks, Red Sox, insurrectionists. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a whole bunch of... Okay. All right, Megan, I want to try to zigzag here, but you're nodding.
I'm also going to go over because, just those three franchises as well. And not only that, but like Philly and Boston alone, those are fan bases that are rabid. So they're going to pay big time money for that. I do think if the Celtics were to advance and make it to the finals, he would have got more business because everybody was talking about the 2004 Red Sox and all of that.
Yeah.
But I will stick with the over.
Oh man. How could it be 150? He's got a high opinion of himself. I have to go over with you guys. It's in the 250 range. It has to be, right? Babyface, go ahead. I'm locked in for over also.
Well, then you're all wrong because Kurt Schilling is under at $150.
Wow. Really? What a reasonable man.
I'll take the L. I'll happily take the L. I'm glad.
Okay, good. All right. Now we know what to get Matt for his birthday. All right. So who's third now? Now Megan still is the only one on the board. She has one.
This is very exciting. A new name popped up on Cameo this week. NBA Hall of Famer turned unofficial U.S. ambassador to North Korea, Dennis Rodman. Welcome to Cameo, pal. Over under $1,250.
See, I thought it was Rodman in the Darth Vader costume. I didn't want to say anything, but so you're saying it's not, or he has a separate thing going. Megan, do you mind going first? Give us an opportunity to catch up.
Yeah, $1,250 for Rodman, one of the best rebounders of all time. Oh gosh, he obviously has a high opinion. That's a high number. I don't think we've ever had someone on this show be that high.
That's very high.
I'm gonna go under and say, since he's new here, he's testing the waters at $1,000.
He's kind of crazy, right? So it's hard to get in his head in terms of, I don't feel like he wants to give anyone a break on these, right? I don't think a lot of the money's going to charity, but it does probably cost a lot to fly back and forth to North Korea. I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
So Megan went under. I mean, I got to go over. Yeah. I got to box out Megan.
That's right.
I need as we're exiting the plane.
So that's exactly right. like Rodman, I gotta block her from getting the win. So
I'm with
strategically,
you.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I'm going. It doesn't matter what my analysis is. We have to go over. So Joel, tell us if Megan won outright. Don't give us the number because I'll have to be a tiebreaker if he is in fact over. But
give me the walk off winner, baby. Come on,
1250 is high. What is it, Joel?
Guys, Dennis Rodman is over. And we're going into overtime.
All right. Wow. See, Megan, you have no respect for the greatest rebounder of all time, as you said it. All right. So now we have to come up with a number that's over 1250 and under 3.5 million, I would say. Probably somewhere in there. Okay. Do you have anything to write on, Matt, or do you put it on your phone or something? Or you can just yell it out when we set the rate. Yeah.
I need to write it on something. Or can I just say it?
You could say it on. You ready, Megan? Alt show 15. I said, go ahead, Matt. I said 1650. Don't Price is Right me now. Is that what you're gonna do? See, no, that's the problem with this.
Dennis Rodman.
Oh, jeez.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go 2,000.
Oh, okay. All right, that's fair. So, Megan, you said what?
1500.
All right, we have a nice little spread here. I said 1650, and Matt's got 2,000. Joel?
Sal, one of you is exactly right.
Ooh, oh my God, it's definitely Matt.
Both showcases? This is great.
And that is the one that showed up in full glam today. Congratulations. Oh, wow. $1,500. Megan Moran.
Oh, Megan. That's right. Megan. Yes, that's right.
Oh. Wow.
Megan Moran O'Brien Conley. Thank you very much. Back with a winning way. It's been a couple weeks, but it feels good to be back on top.
It's not really fair. We have to rethink this tiebreaking system because she was so off on her pick for this third one.
I was also the only one on the board, and the only reason that you picked over was because I went first.
Yeah, I don't even get into that part of it. But yeah, all right, you're right. You're right. All
it's
right,
like
Matt, that's
it's
it.
Like she bet the team to score like under 4 runs and then also bet them to score 7 runs. She tried to have both
exactly
ways,
right. And, I love it. You speak my language, Matt. I love it. I appreciate it. Next time I'm next to you on a plane, I will refrain from flatulence because of that. I really appreciate it. Matt, what do you have to prove? What is it? What do you have to prove? What do you have to prove, Matt? What do you have to promote?
I'll be at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival August 12th to 17th doing a one-person stand-up show there. So if you're in Scotland, which, I mean, if you're a writer on strike, you might be there. So,
what day is this? August?
August 12th to 27th. And so I got that going on. And then I'm on all the social channels, Instagram at Golditch, YouTube channel. I'm on TikTok now. I'm giving my data to China. I'm on all of them at Matt Goldich. So you can find all my stand-up clips and everything on there.
And now that you see Lord Vader is charging, what, $50, you might be on Cameo. Who knows?
I might be. Yes, yes. I might be, you know, the most, I gotta get Kurt Schilling off there. If I can wipe him off the front page, I'll be happy.
He might wipe himself off. There you go. All right. And Matt could also be seen on the picket lines. He tells jokes and doesn't, no 2-drink minimum either if you walk with him. So do that. Megan, you got so much going on.
Oh, this week, Friday Night SmackDown is in Lexington, Kentucky. So tune into that Friday, 8/7 Central on Fox. Monday, I will be in the studio in Stamford, Connecticut, recapping Monday Night Raw on this week's edition of Raw Talk. Catch that at 11:05 p.m. Eastern time on Peacock.
Wow. There you go. It all comes together. And that's going to do it for Laugh Lines. For Megan Conley, Matt Goldich, I'm Sal saying, remember, it's never funny until someone loses money.